Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. This week, our learning is sponsored by Le'ui Nishmas Yisrael Meir ben Yochanan Izzy Chait, and as well, Vilva Wolf Zev ben Aaron, Dr. Zev Zelenko. If you're interested in sponsoring, please reach out to 917-626-8306 or visit sheerenjoyment.com. Additionally, all of my learning is Le'zecha Nishmas Rabbi Mori Moshe Dabbin Rabbi Yisuch Isaac, Le'zecha Tadav Lebracha, Rabbi Moshe Temlin. Additionally, for my community, unfortunately, the 19-year-old daughter of one of my former congregants passed away, and so I'm learning in her a little nishmas as well. Aviva Malka Bas Alexander Yaisiv. May her neshama have an aliyah. So this week's parsha is a double parsha again. It's parsha Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. As I have mentioned previously, it's one of my favorite parshias in that, that it resonates with me because of the time of year that many years ago by my bar mitzvah, it was my bar mitzvah parsha. Additionally, of course, it is the parsha that contains in Parsha Achrei Mos the avodah, the service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And so it resonates, I think, very well with that. It's one of my oldest son's favorite things to learn is Yevodas Yom Kippur, so it's his favorite parsha as well. So I want to focus really just on one pasuk. The first pasuk is Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Aleph. First pasuk in the parsha says, "Vayedaber Shem Moshe Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron Bekravasim Bifnei Hashem Bayamusu." So Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of Aaron's two sons, meaning his older sons, not even Avihu, when they drew near before Hashem and they died, because they brought the Esh Zara. Now, remember back in Parsha Shmini that this is when that occurred. So, very, very briefly to look at the Rashi, there's only one Rashi on the Pasuk, and it says, and after this of Aaron's two sons, that what is the statement intended to teach us, that's Rashi. That is why is it that stated when Hashem spoke to Moshe? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is illustrated by a mashal, by a parable. It says it may be compared to the case of a sick person whom the physician visited, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the physician. He said to him, "Don't eat these cold foods. Don't lie down in a cold, damp place." Then other physicians visit and advise him, "Don't eat cold foods or lie down in a cold, damp place, so that you will not die the way that so and so died." So certainly the second. The latter had physician put him on his guard more than the former, more than the first one, and that is why the Torah says after the death of Aaron's two sons, and that is, in other words, Hashem effectively said to Aaron, "Don't enter to the Kodesh Kodashim in a prohibited manner, so that you won't die the way that your sons did." So says the Rashi based on the Sifra. So, but mentioned last week's count of the Omer was last night we counted 20. I have not yet counted Sphere this evening, so I'm not going to say more than that right now. Okay, so I want to look at Midrash Rabbah. It's the fourth Midrash on the Parsha, and it says, Rabbi Yudin Glayip Stach Kipicha Igbiya Nasher Chi Yarin Kana. So Rabbi Yudin, the Galilean, opened his discourse in our Pasuk with his exposition from a different pasuk. This one comes from Sefer Eel, the Perek Lamed Tes Pasuk Chaf Zayin. It says, saying that it's by your command that the eagle soars or lifts his head on high. And the Yifat Torah and the Eitz Yosef write that Rav Yudin of Galia is also coming to explain the extraneous words in our pasuk, Ikravasam Lisnei Hashem Ve'emusa, when they approached Hashem before they died, as we will explore Amir Hashem in a little while. So in this pasuk, Hashem is telling Eel that since he's not Hashem, he doesn't have control over nature, commanding the eagle to soar, but only Hashem does, that he shouldn't be complaining about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways. However, the Midrash finds it difficult that the psukim that follow Eel, that also are cited later on in the Midrash, discuss the eagle dwelling in rocks and searching for food, and what the eaglets they drink, the baby eagles drink, and other details that are irrelevant to the theme of a Kodesh Baruch Hu controlling Derech HaTeva, controlling nature. The Midrash therefore expounds that the Pasuk and Eov to be speaking of the tzidkus, the righteousness of Aaron HaKohen, And it understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Eov that although Aaron was a greater tzaddik than he, Eov was, that he certainly didn't deserve to suffer any more than he did when Aaron's children had had died. He did not complain against Hashem the way that Eov did. See the Mahar 2 for more on that. Okay, back in the Midrash. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eov, Al Meimar Pumcha V'Haisi Mar Shechinasi Al Gabi Ha'arum Kishem She'asisi Al Yidei Aaron. Did I cause my divine presence, my Shechinah, to rest upon the Aron Kodesh on your word, as it did through Aron HaKohen? Oh, Meimar Pumcha Haisi Mesalik Shechinasi Me'al Gabi Ha'arim. Or did I remove my Shechinah from upon the Aron Kodesh by your word? The Midrash here understands the word Nesher to be the eagle, to be a metaphor for Hashem, as the Torah says, speaking of Kodesh Baruch Hu in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kenesher Ya'ir Kanum, like the eagle arousing his nest. So the phrase Yagbia Nesher is taken to mean that Hashem raised the Aron, raised upon the Aron Kodesh, the expression raised being apt because the Aron Kodesh was 10 tzachim tall, as we see in the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Daf Hey Amud Beis. And the phrase V'chi Yarim Kinoi is taken to mean that Hashem rises up and departs from his resting place, that is his nest upon the Aron Kodesh. The Yifar Tayer and the Bir Marif wonder, oh, where does it say that the Shekhinah came to and departed from the Aron Kodesh during as a result of Aron Kohen's merit? Wasn't the Shekhinah constantly on the Mishkan? They therefore suggest the Midrash is referring to the fact that the Shekhinah entered and left the Kodesh Kodashim with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Okay, let's go back into the Midrash. The Midrash continues saying, Stela Yishkon Zesalon Al Shen Stela. Again, the passage in Eo continues. But the dwelling and lodging in the cleft of the rock upon the rock and the tower, as the Midrash explains further, Stela Yishkon Midrash Mikdash Rishon Linas Harbe. The dwelling in the cleft of the rock refers to Kodesh Baruch Hu living constantly and consistently in the Bayis Rishon, the first base of Mikdash, for the word dwelling connotes many, many lodgings. And the rock in the Pasuk refers to the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. The word dwelling connotes permanence, for through the Bayis Rishon, the Aron Kodesh stood in the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechina dwelled there permanently. V'islon and Lina Echas, Mikdash HaSheni, Al Shen Sela Metuda. And the lodging connotes but a single lodging, for a Kodesh Baruch Hu lives inconsistently and inconstantly in Bayis Rishon, the second base of Midrash, upon the rock and the tower. That the tooth and the rock of the rock and the tower refer to the Shasiyas, the Evan Shasiyah, that stood in the place of the Aron Kodesh in Bayis Sheni. The stone protruded from the ground like a tooth, so says the Ma'at Tu, and served as the protective foundation of the world like a tower or a fortress, so says the Yifatayr. The Sanina and Taman, Shenito Aron Haisa Sham Evan Mimos Nevi'im Rishonim V'Shasiyah Haisa Nikreis. For in regard to Bayis Sheni, we learn in the Mishnah there, after the Aron Kodesh was taken away, that the stone was there from the time of the early Nevi'im, and it was called the Evan Shasiyah. See the Gemara Masechta Yuma, the Perek Hey Mishnah Beis. V'Lama Nikreis Kain, and why was it called this? I'm a Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chalafta Shemamena, Hushta Sa'olam. The Tosefta answers, the Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta said, because from this stone the world was founded. This stone represents the purpose of the world and the ideal for which it was founded. See the Meiri, the Gemara Maseches Yuma, it's Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. The Evan Shasiyah is the foundation of the world because it's the place of the Aveda, the Beit HaMikdash. And the Mishnah teaches in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, that the world stands upon three things, Al Torah, Al Avoda, and Al Kimus Chosodim. And Torah Avoda, is the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, and performance of good deeds, kindness, to the Rambam on his parish and the Mishnayis, for more on that. Alternatively, the Ramban on Parshas Breishis who identifies the Evan Shisiya with the primordial matter from which the universe was created. Back in the Midrash, it says, "Hadad hu dechsiv emetzion michlal yoifi." So it's written in Sefer Tehillim, it's Perek Nun, Pasuk Beis, out of the Tzion, consummation of beauty. This is the preceding Pasuk in Tehillim says, a song by Asaph, Almighty Hashem, spoke and called forth in the earth. It's evident from the current Pasuk in Tehillim that we just mentioned, it discussed the creation of the world. And based off of these two psukim, Chazal say in Gemara Masechet Yuma, Daf, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, they teach that the world was created from Tzion. As assessed, decided by our Midrash, follows this view. In sum, since there was no Aron Kodesh in Bayis Sheni, only the Evan Shisiyah, which was tooth-like and thus not shaped to the rest for a lengthy period of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused his Shechina to lodge there, to dwell temporarily, and in the manner of a guest who comes to a house for a single lodging but doesn't sleep there on a regular basis. Okay, back into the Midrash. It says, Misham Chafer Eichel, Misham Haya Meyalel Eichel Kol Yimos Hashana. And the Pasuk of Eel continues, from there he searches for food. This is to be understood as he was departing from the Eved Shisiya on Yom Kippur, that the Kohen Gadol would search out the food that for food needs of all of the day every day of the year. That is, he sustained all of the Bnei Yisrael through his tefillah, as the Midrash goes on to describe. That it should be noted that although the Midrash is speaking now the Kohen Gadol in general, that it's assumed that Aron HaKohen also, who died long before Bayis Rishon, certainly never saw the Evan Shisiya, acted in a similar way when he served the Avodah in the Mishkan. So go back into the Midrash. It says, Ketzad Haisa Tzilasa Shokoyin Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim B'Tesu Mina HaKodesh. What was the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol Tfilah, when he exited from the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur? That is, the Tfilah is recited in the Heichel. Omer Yehira Tumel Fanecha Shetehe Shana Zog Geshuma Shechuna Utulula. He would say, may it be your will that this coming year should be rainy, hot, and dewy, the word tal, that in light of the fact that a hot year is not a benefit but a detriment, the Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis revises this line of the Kohen Gadol Tfilah to read, if this year is destined to be hot, may it be rainy and dewy to counter the drying effect of the heat. That's according to the Matnas Kahuna. Shnas Ratzayin, Shnas Bracha, Shnas Zoil, Shnas Sova, Shnas Masa V'Matan. And a year of goodwill, a year of bracha, a blessing, a year of inexpensive produce, a year of plenty, a year of prosperous business activities. Al Yistarchu Ba'amcha Yisrael Elu Le'elu. And in this coming year, may your people in Yisrael not need one another for their sustenance. Va'al Yagabihu Yisrael Sirara Elu Al Elu. And may Bnei Yisrael not exercise authority over one another. And do not turn to or answer the tefillah of travelers, so who would daven that it shouldn't rain. So take a brief aside here. Reb Chaim Zaitchik in Sefer Or HaNefesh on Acharei Mos makes a keen observation. The need for the Kohen Gadol to daven that the tefillahs of travelers should be rejected seems to be incomprehensible. These travelers were davening selfishly for their own particular interests, to the detriment of the general public, so that they not be inconvenienced in their travels. They were therefore davening to Hashem to delay the bracha of critical rain needed to sustain the entire nation. Is this the type of tefillah that the Kohen Gadol, who was a shliach, an emissary of the entire Bnei Yisrael, would have to counter on the holiest day of the year in the holiest place in the world? So we see then the extraordinary power of tefillah, regardless of the motivations of those who are davening or the impact of his request on others. The fervent davening of the most simple individual focused entirely on his his own specific self-interest, has a potency that requires the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur to offset it. It is the power of tefillah that underlies the teaching of the Mishnah in the Maseches Makos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, regarding the unintentional murderers who had been exiled into the Ari Miklat, the city's refuge, where they would remain until the Misa of the Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah relates that the mother of the Kohen Gadol would therefore bring them gifts of food and clothing so that they don't daven for the patira, for the death, an early death of her son, the Kohen Gadol. So yes, one should be concerned even about the efficacy of tefillahs of murderers who daven that the Kohen Gadol should die so that they achieve their freedom. We find even more striking evidence of this concept in the episode of Korach's rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem, do not turn to their offerings. This is Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Tes Zion, Pasuk Tes Vav. Moshe was asking Hashem to not accept the tefillahs and the offerings of Korach and his followers, who were in fact rebelling against Hashem as and his emissary, his shliach, as Moshe Rabbeinu. Evidently, the fervent tefillahs of even such people may be answered favorably by Hashem and require the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu to counteract them. So indeed, it is the power of tefillah, whatever our level, whatever our circumstances, and whatever time, for Hashem is Hashemeya tefillahs kol peh. He hears the tefillahs from every person's mouth. Okay, we turn back to the Midrash. Says Rabbanan, and this is Dixerin Amru al Achinu Shebesakrin Shelo Yagbiu Tzral Elu al Elu. So the rabbis of Caesarea, Xerium, the Kohen Gadol would daven specifically regarding our brethren in Caesarea, that they not exercise authority over one another. The inhabitants of Caesarea, Caesarea, preoccupied positions of authority and were particularly prone to treating each other arrogantly, so says the Yifatayr. The Rabbanan, the Reima Amru, Alachinu, Sheba Sharin, Shalo, Yasu, Batehin, Kivrehin. And the Rabbanan of the South, the Kohen Gadol would daven regarding their brethren in Sharin, that their homes should not become their graves, that the plains of Sharon, coastal region of Israel between Yaffa and Har Carmel, being a low-lying area, was susceptible to flooding and therefore required a special tefillah of protection. The Midrash continues, the Merachlik Einav Yabitu Mirosh Hashana Hay Yodeya Ma Seifa. His eyes look out in distance, and this teaches that from what he saw at the beginning of the year, that is what he saw on Yom Kippur, that the Kohen Gadol would know what would be at the end of the year. Hake said, how could this be? Bishasha Hayat Saifa Rayev Ashen Shel Maracha Oila Ladaram Vahaya Yodeya Shahadaram Sodeya. When he would look and see the smoke on the pyre rising that is drifting towards the south, he would know that the south of the country would be sated. Oila Lamarav Haya Yodeya Shahamayrav Sodeya, rising, drifting toward the west, he would know that the west of the country would be stated. Rising, drifting toward the east, he would know that the east of the country would be stated. And so with all the other directions, that is the north as well as the northeast, southwest, etc. If the smoke was rising straight up the middle of the sky, he would know that the entire world would be stated. Acher kol shevach hazeh ve'efrochav ya'aludam. After all this praise of Arnakayim, that is describing all that Aaron did in the Kodesh Kedoshim, as alluded to by the psukim in the Yiv that we mentioned from the Midrash, the next pasuk says, his eaglets gulp up blood. Ra efrochav magin bedan. Which means that Aaron saw his eaglets, that is his children, not of an Avihu, crying out in their blood. Actually, the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, says not of an Avihu, their bodies remained intact when they died, and so therefore there was no blood. anyway, but the crying out of blood, yet he remained silent. In describing Aaron's response to the death of Anavihu, we see in our Parsha, or rather, we see in last week's Parsha, Parsha Shmini, 2 weeks ago, that Aaron was silent. V'af al pichein lo zilakti voidei mehem, and even so, I, Hashem, did not remove my glory from the Anavihu. Ela, over Asher, chlalam nadav Avihu, Hashem, who Ashchina, rather, as the Pasuk in Eos continues, and where are their corpses, referring to Nadav and Avihu, where the Ashchina, who is found. That is, the word who refers back to the Nesher, the eagle, mentioned earlier in the Pasuk in Eos, which represents the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we explained previously. Rabbi Yudin b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Brachia b'shem Rabbi Chaya bar Abba Amr. Rabbi Yudin said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Brachia in the name of Rabbi Chaya bar Abba said, Kivu tu es acheichem me'eis pnei hakodesh. As Nadav Nevihu died, Moshe ben Aaron and Mishael and Eltafim, the sons of Aaron HaKohen's uncle Uziel, that is Aaron's cousins, and said to them, approach and carry your brothers from the face of the Kodesh to the outside of the camp. Me'eis pnei Aaron einu oimer ela me'eis pnei hakodesh. The pasuk does not say from the face of the Aaron Kodesh, but rather from the face of the Kodesh, and is literally the Holy One, which is understood to be referring to Aaron HaKohen, that the Aaron is called Kodesh Hashem, the Holy One of Hashem, as we see in Sefer Tehillim, its Perek Kuf Vav, Pasuk Tes Zion. Ke'adam she'omer l'chaveru ha'ever ha'meis, ha'zeh me'eis pnei ha'avel, ha'zeh ad masai avel zeh mistayer. Hashem instructed Aaron HaKohen's cousins to remove the bodies of Nadav and Avihu. It was like a person who says to his friend, remove this dead one from the presence of the mourner, that is, the relative of the deceased. For how long must the mourner suffer? The Midrash concludes, hadu b'chsiv achri mos shnei b'nei Aaron. So that's, the pasuk is written after the death of Aaron HaKohen's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, when they approached Hashem before they died. So Yisra Tar, the beginning of the section, writes that Rabbi Yudin of Gula, as we mentioned, is explaining the extraneous words in our pasuk, "Rasam lifnei Hashem v'amusu," when they approached before Hashem and they died, to be teaching that the people died in the place where the Shechina was found, that is inside the sanctuary. Rabbi Yudin therefore holds, like Rabbi Akiva in the Taras Kohanim, in Perek Yud Pasuk Beis, unlike Rabbi Eliezer, there, who says that they died after they left from the sanctuary. Alternatively, the Eishan and the Chalam write that that Bikravsan Lufnei Hashem Vayamusu means that Nadav and Avihu died through their closeness to through the Shechina. That is, Nadav and Avihu became so closely attached to Hashem that their bodies could no longer contain the neshamas, which so desired to cleave to come so close to Hashem that they left Nadav and Avihu's physical bodies. And this is what the Midrash means in saying that the Shechina was found in the place where Nadav and Avihu died. The Midrash appears to be saying Nadav and Avihu died after Aaron served in the Kodesh Kodashim. However, this is imprecise. Nadav and Avihu died in the concluding days of the inauguration of the Mishkan, and it was therefore before Aaron served on Yom Kippur. So just to keep all these pieces in mind if we can. But again, I know we are over time, and I do apologize for that, but I do think that we see the importance of a brief lesson, that we try to have a little bit of lesson to see the importance of tefillah. As I mentioned before, that it doesn't matter, you know, who is the one who is davening, that Hashem listens to everyone's tefillahs. And it doesn't matter if you are the biggest, the most, so to speak, important, or the most chashuv of a person in the world. And in this case, we could think of a nasi or a kohen gadol, the melech, or the lowest person, so to speak, someone who's ignorant, someone who doesn't know, but just cares about, we'll say, himself, that Hashem listens to everyone's tefillahs. And so it's important to daven. It's important to remember that we don't have korbanos today, unfortunately, until Mashiach comes, when we'll resume the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash Shlishi. But so we need to daven. And for those who celebrate Yom HaAtzmut, it was really Independence Day, which is this time, recognize that whether or not, you know, we think of it as a we'll call it a holy day, or whether it's just a day where we as perhaps Klal Yisrael recognize coming close to the place where Hashem wants us ultimately to be, which is again in Eretz Yisrael, that we then therefore want to daven perhaps all the more so on a day like Yom HaAtzmut to remember that since we should all be in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim with the Beis Hamikdash, that now is an extra opportune time to daven for all of these things. May it be Hashem's will that we will shortly all return to where we're supposed to be in the way we're supposed to be doing with Beis Hamikdash Shlishi. I wish everyone a good Shabbos, a Zagat Benchit.